Monsieur, a message for you.
Michael knew what the message would be. An invitation from the Gestapo for a lesson in screaming.
Stand up.
Two men, both in the dark leather overcoats of the Gestapo, were shouldering their way into the loge. The man in front had a Mauser pistol in his hand. Michael picked up a red cushioned chair. Blood spewed from the man's broken nose. He staggered, the gun coming up. The bullet went over Michael's shoulder. Michael reached out, grabbed the man's wrist in the front of his overcoat, twisted sharply, and lifted the man over his shoulder. He took a lunging step toward the gilded balcony and threw the gunman into space. The second man reached into his coat. Michael slammed his fist into the man's throat. But the loggia's splintered doorway filled with a new figure, a third man in a pinstriped suit, a Luger in his right hand. Behind him was a soldier with a rifle.
Grab onto my back!
Adam put his arms under Michael's shoulders and locked his fingers together. He was light, 130 pounds if that. Michael saw the third man's eyes widen as he realized what was about to happen, and the Luger rose for a shot. Michael leapt to his right and bounded over the balcony with Adam clinging to his back. Michael's fingers gripped the fluted finials of the gilded column that rose behind Adam's loge, and the muscles of his shoulders strained as he pulled himself and Adam up toward the topmost pier. Michael felt Adam's body shudder and stiffen. The man's arms, already tightly clamped around him, in an instant became as rigid as iron bars. Warm wetness trickled through the back of Michael's hair and down his neck, drenching his suit jacket. Michael realized that the bullet had just blown away a large portion of Adam's skull, and the muscles of the corpse had frozen in the sudden paralysis of severed nerves. Michael pulled himself over the balcony of the uppermost loge.
Up the stairs! Hurry!
The loge Michael found himself in was unoccupied. He spent a few seconds trying to unlock Adam's fingers from where they were clenched together at his chest. He broke two of them like dry twigs, but the others resisted him. There was no time to fight a dead man's grip. He staggered through the door into the crimson-carpeted hallway outside and faced a warren of lamplit corridors and staircases.
This way!
Michael turned to the right and staggered down a corridor lined with paintings of medieval hunting scenes. The corpse hung to his back, its shoe tips dragging furrows in the carpet. Behind them, Michael realized, was also a trail of blood. He stopped to thrash against the body, but all he did was burn a priceless energy, and the corpse remained latched to him like a lifeless Siamese twin. Michael saw two soldiers coming after him, both armed with rifles. He tried to reach his Luger, but couldn't get to it because of the corpse's grip. He turned and ran into another corridor, this one curving to the left. An ascending staircase was ahead of him, cherubs with lyres mounted on its balustrades. Michael started toward it and smelled the bitter scent of a stranger's sweat. A German soldier with a pistol stepped from a shadowed archway on his left.
Your hands up!
Michael kicked him in the right kneecap. The German staggered against the wall but didn't let go of the gun. He began to take aim, and Michael leapt at him as Adam dragged on his shoulders.
I've got him! Help me, I've got him!
The German brought a knee up into Michael's stomach. Michael fell backward. The soldier, balancing desperately on one leg, raised his Luger to shoot Michael at point-blank range. Behind the German, Michael saw a whirl of dark blue, like a tornado unfurling. A blade plunged down into the back of the soldier's neck. Gabi wrenched at the knife, but it had gone in too deeply. She let it go, and the soldier crashed face down. Gabi blinked, stunned at the sight before her. Michael, his hair bloody and gore spattered over one side of his face, had clutched to his back, an open-mouthed corpse that had a pulpy mess where the right temple had been. Her stomach churned. She picked up the gun, her knife hand smeared with scarlet, as Michael found his balance again.
Grayson, where the hell are you?
The only route available to them was the ascending staircase. They started up it. Michael's legs began to cramp under Adam's weight. The staircase curved and took them to a latched door. They had reached the roof of the opera house. The tips of Adam's polished black shoes scraped the tarred stones as Michael followed Gabi across the opera house's huge roof. Gabi looked back and saw figures emerging from the doorway they'd come through. She knew there had to be other ways down, but how long would it take the Germans to cover all the exits? She hurried on, but had to wait for Michael. His strength was ebbing, his back beginning to bow. They neared the front of the roof, with a sprawling, glittering city spread around them in all directions. A massive statue of Apollo rose from the roof's apex. Michael felt his legs weakening. He was holding Gabi back. He stopped, supporting his and Adam's weight against the base of Apollo.
Keep going. Find a way down.
I'm
not leaving you!
Don't be a fool! This isn't the time or the place for an argument!
Michael got his hand into his coat and touched not his Luger, which was trapped in its holster, but the poisoned pocket watch. His fingers gripped it, but he couldn't make himself bring it out.
Go!
I'm not leaving! I love you!
No, you don't. You love the memory of a moment. You don't know anything about me. And you wouldn't want to.
Michael glanced at the figures approaching cautiously about 30 yards away. They hadn't yet seen him or Gabi underneath the statue.
Don't throw your life away. Not for me. Not for anybody.
She hesitated, and Michael could see the strain on her face. She glanced at the oncoming Germans, then back to Michael. Maybe she did only love the memory of a moment. But what was life if not simply the memory of moments? Michael pulled the pocket watch free and popped it open. The cyanide capsule awaited his choice.
You've done what you can. Now go!
He shook the capsule into his mouth. Gabi saw his throat convulse as he swallowed the pill.
Over here! Here they are!
Michael Gallatin fell to his knees, with Adam's weight atop him. He looked up at Gabi, his face sparkling with sweat. She couldn't stand to watch him die. About 50 feet from where Michael lay dying, Gabi's shoe hit the hand grip of a trapdoor. She pulled it open and looked down at a ladder, then another glance toward Michael. The figures were surrounding him, victors of the hunt. It was all Gabi could do to keep from firing into their midst, but they'd surely shoot her to pieces. She went down the ladder, and the trapdoor closed over her head.